If someone in Wisconsin wants to buy raw milk directly from a farmer, should that be legal? Should farmers be able to sell raw milk? Is purchasing and drinking raw milk, or whatever you want to consume, a constitutional right? Raw milk and food rights activists are seeking that ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and we will talk with one of them this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, October 16th. We'll talk about the petitions that were recently filed with the Wisconsin Supreme Court and wonder if you think it should be legal for a farmer to sell raw milk to a consumer who wants to buy and consume raw milk. Should we have a constitutional right to consume whatever we want to consume? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And if the comments on our Facebook page are any indication, this is going to be a lively hour. Let me welcome our guest. Happy to have with us Gail Loisel, a food rights activist from Dousman. She is a plaintiff on one of the appeals before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. So tell us about the appeals that are before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. What is the goal?
Well, the goal really is to recognize that it is a right, a basic human right to choose what we eat and where we get that food from. So the appeals are trying to get the courts to look at that fact, the constitutionality of contracts between individuals and farmers, whether it's a handshake or it's a written contract, herd share agreements, private food clubs. There's a couple different working models in the state that we'd like to get recognition for.
Yeah. So there are three different petitions. Can you briefly tell us what they involve?
Sure. One of them is the Grassway Organics Farm Store. They have had battles going back and forth with DATCAP regarding licensing, and this farm is fully licensed. They also have a private food club that they provide milk for. DATCAP they've had their regulation issues with them. So they basically filed a declaratory judgment saying, look, we are in compliance here. And the judge disagreed. The judge agreed with DATCAP. Therefore, they have decided to go ahead and petition for review.
And just for clarification, the private food club, is that when a consumer purchases a share of a cow?
Well, that's one way it can be done. Mm-hmm. That would be more a herd share situation.
Okay.
And then there's also situations where people agree, they sign a contract, they all agree that we are a private club, we will get our food from this farmer, he will provide us with this food, whether it's raw milk or it's tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an agreement that's what they do. Sometimes they have an actual financial interest in the farm itself, sometimes not. And then other times, for example, with the Zinnaker case, that was a group of people that actually formed an LLC, a limited liability corporation, and they purchased an entire herd of cows.
Okay.
And they hired the farmer then to board and care for the cows and make the milk available to them when they came to the farm.
I get it.
There's a number of different ways.
So DATCAP, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, is stepping in and saying, no, this is not safe. We don't approve.
Well, that's an interesting point, because if you backtrack, 10 to 15 years, DATCAP was telling farmers, why don't you sell raw milk? It's a value-added product. You can increase your profits. So there's been a change in that over time. There was With the Zinnaker case, they actually had their herd share agreement approved by Cheryl Daniels, who was then an administrative law judge, now working for DACAP, Assistant Legal Counsel. And at one time, she approved this herd share contract that they had, and then 10, 12 years later, she was a prosecuting attorney shutting down the farm.
Yeah, I remember that. What happened? I mean, why do you think there was a change in attitude or policy?
You know, I'm not really sure if there is a moment, and that's a really good question. Back in 2009, when the Zinnaker farm was shut down, this shocked me. I couldn't believe what I can't get milk. It seemed totally absurd. And so going on through the years, I've done some research, and through Open's records, I found some emails between DACAP and the FDA that actually talk about infiltrating an Amish food club because they believed that was the source of raw milk being distributed in Chicago. So it's coming down from, you know, on high, if you will. Mm-hmm. There's many reasons. There's this idea that it's not safe, which can be valid. You know, cantaloupe got a lot of people sick. Peanut butter has gotten a lot of people sick. Deli meat has gotten a lot of people sick. It's a food. Any food can become contaminated. So, yes, you have to look at the health. But on a whole, fresh raw milk is easy to produce, you know, cleanly and safely.
Mm-hmm. How about,
so we have this,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we have this regulated body that wants to keep the public safe. We've got advocacy groups. And I think on some level they sincerely want to keep the public safe. But they're overreaching. You know, they're getting into areas where they don't need to be. And why DACAP suddenly changed its tune, I don't know, an administration change perhaps. Because the head of DACAP is appointed by the governor.
Yeah. How about not thinking that there would be widespread or large outbreaks of foodborne illnesses because of raw milk, and then it became apparent that this did happen, and didn't you yourself get sick?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, as I said, you know, any food is subject to being contaminated. The interesting point there is this farm has a 50-year history of producing high-quality milk. They've had numerous awards, actually, from DACAP for the quality of their milk, and they've never had incident. So there's this one time, and there was an incident, and it was Campylobacter is what got people sick, but the Campylobacter was never found in the milk. It was the investigation was not very good. There was no other source was looked for. And another very interesting point there is one of my daughters, who does not drink milk, collected the milk the day that people got sick, the batch of milk that was suspected in getting people sick. And she got the sickest in our family, but she doesn't drink it.
So you suspect that the source of your illness was not the raw milk?
Right. It may have came from the farm. You know, there's small children running around. You know, are they going to step in things and then, you know, touch the bulk tank? And, you know, so there are things that you need to stay on top of. And, you know, for 50 years, they have been on top of it. So what went wrong that day? I don't know. Nobody really knows because they didn't do a very good investigation.
So what is you are the plaintiff on one of the appeals specifically before the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Yes.
And what is your petition state?
My petition states that I own a cow and that I should have the right to drink milk from that cow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told by DACAP that, yes, you can drink that milk if you go to the farm and drink it. I just can't step off the farm with it. So it's more a transportation issue. This is more about distribution than it is about health, because the state statutes allow for incidental sales. And if it was such a hugely dangerous thing, why would they even allow for that? And why is it I can drink it on the farm, but I can't drink it off the farm? And to me, this is just wrong. Why should I not be able to choose what I feed my family? I've done research. I'm college educated. I can make this decision for myself. I don't need to pay taxes to have the government figure out what I can eat.
We are talking with Gail Loisel, a food rights activist from Dousman, one of the plaintiffs on one of the appeals before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, seeking the legality of the sale and purchase and consumption of raw milk. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Talking about raw milk. Is drinking raw milk a right, a constitutional right? Should we be able to purchase and consume any food we want? Our guest is Gail Loisel, a food rights activist from Dousman. She is telling us about the appeals seeking that ruling before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Here's a comment on Facebook from D. Jean. Before pasteurization, raw milk was a common source of the bacteria that caused tuberculosis, diphtheria, severe streptococcal infections, typhoid fever, and other foodborne illnesses. These illnesses killed many people each year, especially young children. So for you personal choicers, it is my personal choice not to have you spreading tuberculosis or other communicable diseases to me and my family. Gail, what about that?
Well, tuberculosis hasn't been active in the United States for a very, very long time. And our herd of cows was tested. Each individual cow was tested for TB, so that's not an issue. The other issue is, before pasteurization, the milk that I believe this person is referring to came from most likely swill dairies. I mean, this was when people first largely populated cities. And so food also came to the cities, but they didn't have refrigeration. And, you know, if you can picture, you know, 400,000, 500,000, 600,000 cows standing in a very small space inside of a city where they don't have pastures, on their own manure, eating on their own manure, eating off of the waste products of other food industries, and it begins to be pretty clear how that milk became contaminated. And it's also very much suspected that the contamination was sick people handling the cows that actually spread many of these diseases. So the fear that somebody who gets sick from drinking raw milk is going to spread some horrible disease to the greater population is just not there. Yeah. It's not a valid fear.
So, Gail, why even take the risk? Why do you want to consume and buy raw milk?
Well, from personal experience, I feel better when I'm drinking it. My joints don't ache. My skin is healthier. My hair, my scalp, my nails, I feel better when I'm drinking it. It tastes really good. And, you know, I'm not a scientist. If you want to know more about the health benefits of raw milk, which are there and I've read and I'm convinced, Weston A. Price Foundation has a lot of information readily available on their website. There's been many studies out of Europe that suggest up to a 30% decrease in asthma and allergies in children and adults who consume raw milk. And pasteurized milk consumes antibiotics, growth hormones, residues of pesticides and herbicides, lots and lots and lots of bodily fluids that would never be allowed into raw milk. There's a difference. See, milk that's destined to be pasteurized is handled, the cows are handled very differently. They're out on pastures as often as possible. It's much cleaner. They know, the farmer knows it's going directly into the human food chain, and they take every precaution along the way. Milk that is destined to be pasteurized, on the other hand, they don't have to take all those extra precautions. And largely, they're coming from CAFOs, confined animal...
big farms.
Big farms. Yeah, I can't think of the acronym right now. But yeah, but you're talking 2,000 to 5,000 cow dairies. And, you know, that's a hugely different scenario. Those cows are fed high production. Their bodies are stressed out because they're in high production all the time. Milk. You know, the dairy industry is a $26 billion a year industry. And fluid raw milk sales is actually, or fluid pasteurized milk, I should say, sales are down. They've been dropping nationwide for years. Raw milk sales are growing steadily, even when there's these incidents of outbreaks, because if you look at the big picture, the outbreaks are really extremely rare.
Let's take some calls. Margaret in Madison is with us. Hello, Margaret.
Hi. As I'm listening to Gail, it's pretty clear to me that the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, which with the FDA is really behind this strong and recent opposition to raw milk, is interested in protecting big dairies against competition, not protecting public health. And if, you know, there's a fine line between protecting the public and controlling the public against their will. We're not asking to have something that some other states have, which is the sale of raw milk in stores. We're not asking for that in Wisconsin. We're just asking for people to be able to go to farms and pick up a little milk and take it home and drink it. When the Department of Agriculture suggests that it's okay to drink it on the farm, but you can't take it home, well, this is just silly. This suggests that there isn't any real big risk to it. The issue is control.
So what do you say to that, Gail?
I agree 100%. Margaret, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the case.
Yeah. So what states allow the sale of raw milk in supermarkets?
Well, California, for one. Mm-hmm. There's also a list of those on the Weston A. Price Foundation website. So the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund also has that information. But there's, I believe, 17... I want to say my numbers might not be correct, but there's a number of states that do have. I believe Pennsylvania is another.
Yeah, so California is a pretty big dairy state too. How come big dairy wasn't protected in California?
Actually, California is the largest dairy producing state right now in the nation. They have their battles as well. But they have fought this battle enough to get raw milk on the store shelves, and they're not having any problems associated with that. Yes, occasionally they have outbreaks like every other food, but, you know, you don't see deaths from raw milk like you did from the cantaloupe experience a few years back.
You know, I recall... in covering this issue over the years, the claim being made, or the argument being made, well, Wisconsin is, after all, America's dairyland, and the reputation of Wisconsin's dairy industry is at stake. Should there be any outbreaks of illness because of raw milk, it gives all milk a bad name.
I really have to disagree with that. I believe that's just a desperate attempt by the dairy industry to knock out their competition. You didn't see any drop off in the sales of other foods when they have problems. And if you look back at the statistics, when the Zinnaker farm had the 35 illnesses, which is probably one of the larger outbreaks, there was no dramatic drop off. There's no statistics to back that claim at all.
Blake in Madison is with us now. Hello, Blake.
Hi, Joy. My opinion on the matter is that it's not about big dairy. This is clearly about consumer protection. No one gets sick from drinking highly pasteurized milk. Raw milk is going to be made on the honor system, according to this conversation. I don't see raw milk belonging on a shelf right next to regular milk without giant warning sticker saying that, you know, this isn't pasteurized.
Hey, Blake, we're not talking about, what if it's just letting you go to a farm, buy some raw milk, and take it home, and not being in a supermarket?
Well, that'd be like, can I go to someone's house and buy beer from their shed? No, that's not how consumer protection works. Either something's protected or it's not, Joy.
I just wanted to clarify because that's not these food right activists aren't looking for it to be on the supermarket shelf. However, how about if there's a warning label on it? Does it need a warning label, Gail?
Well, you know, that was one of the suggestions put forth in the last round of legislation that was looked at in the past year. Sure, I mean, there's really no problem with putting a label on it. It's a little, you know, in a private scenario where it's a direct farm to consumer, it's kind of unnecessary and just an extra step that makes people feel good but doesn't really do anything.
We're going to check news and then we'll continue talking about raw milk in Wisconsin. Should the direct sale of raw milk from farmer to consumer be legal in Wisconsin? Do we have a constitutional right to consume whatever we want? We are talking with a food rights activist who is a plaintiff on one of three recent appeals filed with the Wisconsin Supreme Court seeking to have the right to purchase and drink raw milk in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are welcoming your thoughts and questions on this, wondering if you support or oppose the sale of raw milk in Wisconsin. Do you drink raw milk? Why or why not? Do you think that people have the right to choose what they eat? What do you want the Wisconsin Supreme Court to do with these recent appeals? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Gail Loisel, a food rights activist from Dousman. She is a plaintiff on one of the appeals before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, just before news time, we heard from a caller, Blake from Madison, who didn't believe that raw milk was all that safe, but he said, hey, put a label on it and maybe it'd be all right. He said no one gets sick from pasteurized milk. And Gail, we didn't have time for you to respond to that.
Yeah, that's actually not true. There have been deaths from pasteurized milk. There have been, recently there was cheese in the state of Wisconsin. And pasteurized cheese got quite a few people sick. So it's just more misinformation, and a lot of people believe that. But pasteurized milk does and can get people sick as well. Yeah.
And clarify, he was thinking that you wanted the raw milk in the supermarket so you could buy it there. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I would love to see that at some point, actually, but I do believe there's a learning curve for the farmers as far as, you know, producing that much raw milk. What I'm really asking for individually is that the statutes be revisited and become clear and recognize a person's right to choose what they eat, because everybody wants to make this about raw milk and about health, and that's really not what this is about. This is about our right to choose. Choose for ourselves what we eat, choose to opt out of a government-regulated food system.
Yeah.
The government-regulated food system comes along with a lot of additives, preservatives, residues of many different chemicals and toxins and allergens, and I don't want all of that. I don't want to feed all of that to my children. And the government, in my belief, just simply doesn't have the authority to tell me what to eat. Let them deal with Ebola. Let them go places that we need them for. But we don't need them on our dinner table.
Yeah. Well, what about is it, some people say, fine, you know, adults can eat whatever they want to eat, but, you know, if you're going to bring that raw milk to the neighborhood picnic, you might get a bunch of kids sick. And what about, is it really reasonable to give kids raw milk?
I don't give any children that aren't my own raw milk. I believe that's a parent's choice. Because it is perceived as a risk. And so that's up to a parent to make that decision for their child, just like they decide whether or not they're going to go play football and, you know, risk life-threatening injuries. You know, so we all have our own tolerance for risk. And raw milk is a pretty small, teeny, infinitesimal risk to take under most circumstances. And if you want to talk about the health of children, I mean, that's specifically why I fed raw milk to my children. The studies coming out of Europe and have for many, many years show a huge decrease in raw milk and incidence of allergies and asthma among kids who grow up on farms and eat raw milk. Part of it is just the environment as well, the farm environment, or just becoming slowly throughout life exposed to different pathogens and things. We live in this super sanitized society where everybody's really afraid of germs, and there's some pretty nasty germs out there, no doubt. But the kind that come from fresh, safely produced raw milk are not the ones to worry about.
Cindy on Facebook says, I grew up on grade A dairy farm and drank raw milk for most of my life. I was never ill, and neither were any family members. Knowing who your farmer is and what grade dairy, and yes, we never bought milk, ever. So, a testimonial from Cindy. A lot of people say that. I grew up drinking raw milk and I'm fine. Is everybody fine though, Gail? I mean, some people do get sick.
I think, you know, coming back to it, that some people do get sick, yes. Mm-hmm. In life, people get sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband got really, really ill from peanut butter a few years back. To help him through that, it was horrible what he went through. You know, peanut butter's still on the shelves. It's the same thing with cantaloupe. Dozens of people died throughout the entire country. When you have a small raw milk dairy, it's a very contained situation. If something does happen, you know it quickly, and it's a phone call, and everybody knows what's going on. When you have a contamination on a food that's mass-produced and sent throughout the entire country, it's days, weeks, months before you're able to recall all that food and stop all the sicknesses and the diseases. So this hyper-fear about raw milk is... It's not valid.
Let's go to Bill in Lancaster right now. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I guess I'm going to be one of those guys who says I grew up on a dairy. I grew up on a 60-cow grade A dairy. Our somatic cell count was below 200,000 all the time. And I mean, we drank the raw milk, but one thing we did was every 3 to 5 days we were getting fresh milk. If we had milk left over after 3 to 5 days, we dumped it. And it's just not a very shelf-stable product. You know, you go to the grocery store and you buy a gallon of pasteurized, homogenized milk, and it might have been on the grocery store shelf for 2 or 3 weeks before you got it, and then you take it home and you get it 2 or 3 more weeks. I guess that's what the typical American consumer wants, cheap, shelf-stable, easy milk. If you want raw milk, you've got to be prepared to dump it after 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Gail?
Yeah, really good point. It does have a shelf life. It's a live food, and that's one of the things that makes it so good for you. And that is one of the reasons the dairy industry, of course, isn't going to jump on that, because, you know, the shelf life increases profits.
Yeah. Well, is that why DadCap says it's okay for you to go to a farm and buy and drink the raw milk on the farm?
No.
You can't take it home?
Mm-mm. No. Their regulations are set up to protect the distributors and the processors. That's not why they don't want me to take it off the farm. Because, you know, the shelf life depends a lot of raw milk. The shelf life depends on, you know, the caller referred to the Semetic cell count. There's a few basic tests you can run on milk right off the bat to see, to kind of judge the health of the herd and some other things, the bacteria count and these kinds of things. And the colder and cleaner the milk is, the longer it will last. You know, and another commenter talked about trusting your farm and grade A milk, and that's so important. Because there, it is different. It's milk specifically produced by farmers who understand the process for raw milk.
Let's take another caller, Pat in Watertown. Hello, Pat.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm a dairy producer. My family and I run a 100-cow dairy. Earlier in the program, your guest spoke of how most of the milk that heads for bottling comes from calfos. The average size of a dairy in Wisconsin is 100 cows, and nearly all of the dairies in Wisconsin are family-owned and operated. To lump that into a calfo status is a little bit grating, but let's move on to the milk. In general, I grew up, of course, you know, okay, farm kid, grew up drinking raw milk, didn't necessarily get sick from it, or might have gotten sick, but didn't, you know, it wasn't probably equated to the milk, it's just, okay, you got sick, big deal. In general, for the industry, it's a safety issue in that people perceive milk, selling raw milk in stores or whatnot, people perceive milk as a very safe product, which it is. By and large, okay, so there might be an occasional thing that might happen, as you pointed out, to the Listeria outbreak only a couple of years ago or a year ago, whatever that was. But by and large, it's a very safe product, and people trust that product to be safe, to sell raw milk in stores and to have, oh, you know, it pops up in the news, here's an outbreak, people are drinking milk. You know, the raw milk portion of that, I would be willing to bet, would be lost in the general public conversation, and people could begin to perceive milk as a possible unsafe product, and that would be, well, I mean, as a dairy producer, I don't want to see people perceive our product as unsafe.
Dale?
Point taken on the CAFOs. There are still a number of smaller dairy farms in the state, and you know that ship to processors, that even some that are organic, and you could drink raw if you wanted to. As far as the safety factor, you know, the fear that an outbreak, that milk is perceived as a safe product, and an outbreak will cause them a problem. I understand the fear, but I don't believe it's warranted. I think that people know the difference between raw and pasteurized. And there is no raw milk on the shelves in Wisconsin. And even the legislation that was proposed did not ask for raw milk on the shelves. It maintained that this was a direct farm-to-consumer situation. That people are asking for. And milk is perceived as a safe product from a getting you sick, it's contaminated point of view. That's true. But there's also the idea in the general public, and this is one of the reasons I believe that that there's a decrease in sales of fluid milk, is that it's not, you know, all that great. Sales are dropping, and it is not because of raw milk. I think we should give our population a little more credit that, you know, when there's outbreaks and incidents of things that happen, like the cheese, you know, a very small little incident, and he so easily explained it as it not being a problem. So why is it suddenly a problem with raw milk? It's the same small, tiny, rare, hardly ever happens kind of thing.
We are talking about raw milk and whether or not it should be legal to purchase and consume raw, unpasteurized milk. Raw milk advocates have filed petitions, appeals, with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, arguing they have a constitutional right to consume raw milk, or anything else for that matter. We're wondering what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a Wisconsin food rights activist who is also a plaintiff on one of the recent appeals that is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, looking for a ruling that that legalizes, in essence, the direct sale of raw milk from farmer to consumer. We welcome your questions and your views, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should it be okay for Wisconsin residents to purchase raw milk from a farmer and then consume it? Should it be okay for a farmer to sell raw milk to a consumer? Let's go back to the phones. Pat in Sauk County is with us. Hello, Pat.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to give you a little perspective from one of those small dairies that would have liked to have sold raw milk. I don't know if your listeners are aware, but we had a huge dairy crisis in Wisconsin. In 2008 to 2010.
And I'm sorry, Pat, we had a huge what?
Dairy crisis.
Dairy crisis, okay.
Yeah. The price that we were getting from processors was about $100. About $12 per hundredweight.
Did we lose you, Pat? Oh, gosh. I think she was saying that what she meant by the dairy crisis was the low prices paid to dairy farmers based on that formula or something. Gail, can you talk a little bit about how dairy farmers had been struggling?
No, I really can't. I'm not at all sure what the caller was referring to, and my knowledge base doesn't yeah. go to where she may have been going.
Yeah, Pat, I'm sorry. If you want to call back, we can see if we can get you back on before the
end
of the hour.
I'd be interested to hear what she had to say, though, actually.
Yeah, Pat in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Pat. I'm sorry, it's Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
Hello.
Yes, Matt, go ahead.
Hi. I'm thanks for taking my call, by the way, and I'm very sympathetic with your guest point that, you know, if I want to drink raw milk and if I'm aware of the small but real risks in that, then I should be allowed to do that. And the state shouldn't have the authority to stop me. I understand that. And at the same time, I think given what the guest has said about the potential for getting sick and even dying, she said that has happened. And the fact that the costs of treating sick or ill people or dying or dead people are not borne individually, but they're shared as a society. I think that collective cost, I wonder if that is what warrants government intervention in this case. And I think about a parallel as seatbelt laws, for example. No one should be able to tell me that I can't drive without my seatbelt on, but we do because the cost, the increased cost of people hitting their head on steering wheels or getting into windshields when they could easily be prevented are too high. Yeah. So I wonder if the collective shared cost is ultimately what warrants intervention here. Even if someone does individually get sick, we all pay for it.
Gail?
If you compare the cost of someone getting sick associated with foodborne illness specifically from raw milk to the cost of foodborne illness from other foods, it's a grain of sand in the Mojave Desert. It's so small. But if you want to look at costs of healthcare, look at the cost of diabetes. Look at the cost of cancer from tobacco. You know, the overuse of sugar and corn syrup and fast food and processed foods. I mean, we have an obesity crisis in this country. We have a diabetes crisis in this country. This is predominantly from food. And raw milk is a health food. And, you know, a lot of people that drink raw milk do it specifically for health reasons. And so the cost of treating, you know, illnesses from, because somebody might get sick from raw milk, you know, that argument to me doesn't hold water, because what about the cost to society of people that smoke cigarettes or the people that drink alcohol? You talked about seatbelts and motor vehicle accidents. You don't get in, you know, drink a gallon of milk and get in your car and go kill people. That happens when you drink alcohol a lot. And there have not been deaths from raw milk. There has not been a proven recorded death from raw milk in this country for over 50 years. Yeah. And there have been from pasteurized milk.
Well, let's see. I don't know if Pat did call back. Still couldn't hear her very well, but she said they had to sell the farm because of the dairy crisis, the milk crisis.
Yeah.
If they had been able to sell raw milk for, say, $5 a gallon, she thinks they might still be farming.
Yeah, that's really, really true. That's a big deal for small farmers. The processing industry was born when pasteurization was born and refrigeration came, and suddenly there was a way to get milk from the dairy to a much wider audience. Before that time, it was directly from the farm to the consumer, and that's probably, and this is just a guess at my part, that's probably when DATCAP decided, okay, you know, instead of having your dairy go out of business, why don't you try doing a little raw on the side? And that it's true. That's a value-added product. I mean, you can make a dairy farm with 30 cows and selling it straight raw can make a decent living to support a family of four or five people.
Yeah. We have just a minute to go, Gail. I think I read that you think that the Supreme Court ruling in your favor is maybe a long shot. What do you hope these appeals will do for the raw milk debate?
I don't really want it to be a raw milk debate. I want this to be about rights.
Mm-hmm.
This is about personal rights to choose. I have a right to choose what I eat. I don't need or want the government to tell me that's not what I have a government for. We created this constitution and this government to help administer our lives, and that's not doing that. That's making my life more difficult. You know, the more you take away people's self-reliance, the more you take away their sense of responsibility for themselves, the more dependent they become. And the more dependent they become, the more easily manipulated they are.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay.
Gail Loisel, food rights activist from Dousman. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.